number one thing that we first and foremost have to talk about is Bella Thorne, not Bella Thorne, Bella Swan, not Bella Thorne.
Welcome to our new Bella Thorne podcast.
Where I just talk about issues of Bella. Anyway, Bella Swan has mental illness. And I'm using my Professor Talks voice because she has mental illness.
Bring this girl to a therapist, please.
She needs a therapist so bad. I think that was like my hugest pet peeve with this movie, is especially rewatching it now. I mean, I've always found it hilarious because of the nonsensical drama that's in New Moon.
Oh.
But on the whole, homegirl needs to go see a therapist. And the weirder part is this movie came out in 2009. And her parents were acting like, yeah, we've never heard of a therapist. We don't know what we should do. I'm like, girl, come on.
Sorry, chat therapy was only invented in 2015.
That is so true. Which is funny because I'm like, I feel like when I was younger, therapy was like, I wouldn't say on the rise per se, but I feel like they were kind of like trying to normalize it a little bit more. I feel like it's like every other decade they kind of like normalized therapy. Because I think in the 80s, it was either like the 80s or the 70s or something. It was like way more, you know.
Taboo.
Like, well, I don't even know if it was taboo per se. I feel like people were more likely to go see a therapist. But maybe back then they were seeing psychiatrists who would give them medication. Because that's completely different than seeing a therapist who will just help you talk through your issues.
Well, I have a clear memory of the movie The Santa Claus.
The Santa Claus.
Yes, are you familiar?
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows the Santa Claus.
The kid goes, he's in therapy in it.
In the first one?
Yeah.
Maybe I haven't seen this movie in a long time.
Unless I'm remembering it wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's, like, in therapy about the whole, like, new dad thing. He thinks his dad is Santa Claus, so we're like, we gotta take this kid to therapy because he thinks his dad is Santa Claus, like, and they think it's because of, like, him being upset about the divorce or, like, the new husband or whatever.
This is the Tim Allen movie, right?
Yeah.
Wow, I really don't remember that at all.
Honestly, I haven't seen it in years, but when you started talking about therapy and, like, it up and coming, I'm just like, I just had such a clear memory of that, and I'm like, I think that was my first time seeing therapy represented in, like, a non-negative way and, like, a healthy, like, our child seems to be struggling with something, so we're gonna go to therapy. Obviously, technically, in that case, it was incorrect, but to be fair, if my child was convinced that someone was Santa Claus, I would probably take them to therapy, too, so.
True. Have you ever seen Mr. and Mrs. Smith? I mean, I know this is reaching, but have you?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I was gonna say, concept, New Moon, but it's basically just like, fucking Mr. and Mrs. Smith, where they're going through, like, their therapy bullshit, and it's just Bella and Edward sitting on opposite sides, like,
oh, my
like,
God.
Oh, she's like this.
I would love a spinoff where it's just, like, Twilight, but if everyone was in therapy.
That's the whole series. It actually just takes place in a therapist's office.
That'd be so funny.
And then he just yells, I'm a vampire!
Honestly, that'd be really funny for, like, a comedy miniseries where they would take care, where if you, like, took characters from shows or, like, movies, and, like, but if they were in therapy. And you just had, like, a therapist session with them. Like, it sounds like a very funny comedy skit.
Yeah. It sounds like an SNL digital short.
Yeah, SNL, hire me. Where you at? I wrote a script once.
One time.
Just one time. I actually do think I've only ever written one complete script, so that's not necessarily a lie.
I mean, that's fair. Writing is hard. As a writer, I can tell you that writing is hard. Everyone tries to pretend like it's easy, but it's not. It is a lot of work. Because you really gotta think.
I don't have thoughts, so I think that's why I struggle with
it
so much.
I have too many thoughts. That's my problem.
Zero thoughts. Zero structure. Yeah.
So, New Moon, I don't want to say most excited for, but I was anticipating a lot, just because I remember the book, and because when I started reading the Twilight series, I only read books 2 and 3. Those are the only ones I've read, weirdly enough.
Oh, I read them all a few times, many times.
I think at the time I was, like, waiting for I think book 4 maybe had come out, but I was, like, I can't remember why I didn't read it. I think I was, like, gonna buy it or something, But then my friend had it, and I was just like, oh, I'll borrow it from you. And then she couldn't find it, and then I was just like, ah, fuck it.
And then things got too hard, so you're like, eh.
Which I mean,
I feel on a spiritual level.
I mean, isn't that the reason why people don't read most of the time? It's just like, eh, it became too much
work. That's why I don't watch most movies, because I'm like, oh, I'll wait till it comes out of theaters. And then I'm like, eh, it's too late now, whatever.
It's out in theaters. I don't want to see it now.
Yeah. Stranger Things, third season's out. Eh, I still haven't seen the second season, whatever.
Oh, I binged the whole third season. I've already watched it.
I'm just not, I don't know. I just never got into it that much. Like, I enjoyed the first season, but I didn't like it that much. And then when they started pushing the whole relationship between the two children, I was like, not feeling this.
And yeah, it doesn't go away.
Yeah, I heard it just gets worse, so it just makes me want to not watch it. And now and the motivation already wasn't that high, so then when I found out it got worse, I'm like, eh, it's not worth it. I honestly don't like the show enough to do that.
I mean, by season three, I have already gotten to the point where I don't care anymore. I'm more interested in what's happening as the story progressing.
Right.
Versus what's going on, per se, with the characters.
Yeah. From what I understand, at least, about it, which is very little, because I don't really go out of my way to, like, really look it up. At this point, it's mostly just the huge amount of hype behind the franchise that's been there since season one that is keeping it going, but it's not necessarily like, oh, it's getting really good with every coming season. It's
it has such a
hardcore fan base that it's like, it's fine. They can keep going, but
yeah,
I don't think it's the actual quality of the show.
Yeah, season two, for me, was the better one. I enjoyed season two a lot. The latter half of season three, once you get to a certain point, it kind of hits a stride, so I think it gets to a good point in that regard.
Like, if I were hanging out with someone and they were like, oh, let's watch Stranger Things, I would watch it. Like, I don't dislike it. I don't think it was a bad show. And I hear, like, there are some things they have done that are good besides the whole stupid-ass relationship. But, like, besides that, I heard there are decisions they made that are good and, like, things they do that are, like, good to watch. It's just that I am just not motivated enough to make myself actually go watch it when there are, like, a bunch of other shows I've been trying to watch.
Yeah.
And movies.
Well, much like Twilight, I feel like it's definitely going to be, like, kind of a tentpole in people's minds when it comes to that particular genre.
Yeah.
Like, when it comes to Twilight, it's, like, that whole romance, supernatural, teen drama thing. Mm-hmm. It's very much, like, everyone will always remember, like, things like Twilight, The Vampire Diaries, shit like that. It's, like, they're very much, like, standout things in people's minds.
And
much like
Stranger Things. There were a lot of teen vampire romance novels. Like, they were everywhere, but Twilight, I feel like, is really, like, the, like,
pinnacle.
Yeah, it is the teen vampire romance, like, franchise.
Which is funny, because, like, The Vampire Diaries didn't get started until after, I think it was after? Yeah, it was after Twilight, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because Twilight really ushered in that vampire craze.
Yeah, I think the books were written before, but it didn't become, like,
as the books started, I think they started in, like, 2005. Like, Twilight came out in 2005.
Yeah.
But, you know, fucking Vampire Diaries, those books were written in, like, the late 80s, 90s, something like that.
I want to say Vampire Diaries were better, but honestly, I don't remember it well enough to say so.
Well,
I haven't seen the show. I saw the first episode of the show, and that's it. And I was
not
impressed.
All of the show. I've seen the entire series, and I have the second book in, like, first edition paperback, and that's only because I found it by accident.
Wow. I do have, I do think I own a book or two. I think I even bought a couple of ebooks, because it was right around the time that ebooks was a possibility, and I had, like, an iPad Touch with the books app. And I think, like, when I was reading it, I was just, like, so, I, like, binged them. But, like, I was reading it.
Yeah.
And I remember finishing one and being like, I need it right now. And the library was closed, so I e-booked it. I bought it for, like, $2 or something like that. Like, they weren't very expensive back then on ebook.
Yeah, I think now they've gone more up to, like, match the price because
I think,
like,
more people are doing that now.
Yeah, because, like, they're like, well, I'm not making any actual revenue off the ebook.
Right.
But, I mean, the only reason why I bought I prefer actual books versus ebooks because, like, physical copies of shit I'm more likely to read or watch and shit like that versus anything digital.
When I was in high school, I liked digital just because it was convenient to have, because you had it, like, no matter what. But for me, it was usually, the ebook was more of a, like, oh, I, like, really need something, like, right now, and I'm not willing to go wait. I did a lot of, like, library. Like, I went to the library a lot.
Yeah. I mean, like, the great thing about, like, pressings of books is, like, sometimes between different pressings, they'll, like, do different covers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of my favorite books.
The one I have is after the show came out, because it was, like, a photo from the show.
Oh, yeah. Well, the one I have is, like, the first edition paperback of the second book is... Mm. I only bought it because of the cover, because I thought the cover looked really cool, because, you know, like, sometimes that 90s style of books is, like, interesting.
Yeah.
Especially if you do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that one looks really cool. I'll have to send you a picture of it. But,
please do.
I mean, that's honestly why I buy a lot of, like, books and shit, is because of, like, you know, they're always like, don't judge a book by its cover. And I'm just like, well, bitch, if you doing your job with the marketing,
right,
I'll exactly. buy it.
I'm absolutely going to judge a book by its cover. That's how I picked all the books that I would read in high school. Like, how else am I going to judge it?
Exactly.
I can't read every single book I see. Like, sometimes I just need to fucking pick one. And the cover is the easiest. Because also, I will say, a cover will say a lot about it. Mm. And if the cover is very misleading and doesn't really represent the kind of book it is, then that's just poor marketing. And that's on you.
Exactly.
You know? Like, I actually have a book that's over in that bookshelf over there. And I will say, their cover is not great because I find personally that's a little misleading because it looks like a teeny romance novel because it's called Love is a Mixtape, right? But it's a memoir written by a rock journalist about when the love of his life, like, suddenly died in his arms with no warning and, like, how he got through grief with music.
Mm.
But, like, the cover is designed in what looks like teen romance, and it's called Love is a Mixtape, you know? Like, it's... But it makes sense once you read it, but the cover does not...
Give it justice.
Right. Like, it doesn't look like what it's really about. Because it's honestly kind of a depressing read.
But why is that not a teen movie, though? I feel... I'm like, I have not read this book at
all.
Well,
he wasn't a teen when it happened.
Yeah, but at this... That would make an excellent teen movie. Do you know how well that shit would sell right now?
Yeah.
I mean, missed opportunity right there. Hey, I'm shouting out to you, whoever Love is a Mixtape is by. Bitch.
Sheffield get right there.
You better get your coin. Sheffield. You are really... You are shitting the proverbial bed on that one. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah. Well, he's a rock journalist for fucking Rolling Stones.
Ah, see, that's
he
why.
He already making that coin.
He's thinking too small. Do you want a bigger house or not?
Oh, my God.
Do you want to pay the pool man or not?
Jesus.
That's the question.
Well, from what I gathered from that book, he's in too much of a depression to really care about getting that coin. He's just trying to survive the day.
I mean, you can be depressed and have money. I mean...
That's so iconic. I want that tattooed on my body.
You can be depressed and have money.
That's amazing.
I mean, are you going to try and tell me that depressed people are not sad? They're, like, the number one people who go to therapists. You're which, again, Bella Swan should be in. She should be in therapy. I'm coming back to that. Because I need to make this a full circle, but also, just in general, I feel like when we were watching the movie, I just kept shouting, mental illness!
You did, yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, yeah, she just really desperately needs therapy.
All right, so, I mean, you guys have probably... I'm just going to speak directly to you insomniacs right now, because I feel like we're close, we're personal. We've been together for a while. We've been on this ride together for quite some time. We're homies. We're road dogs. You've probably seen this movie, because I feel like a lot of people, especially if you're at least over the age of... If you're at least over the age of 18 or possibly even 16, you have seen this movie. Because I would believe that, like, younger kids who are, like, maybe in elementary school / middle school when these originally came out had seen them. I would believe that. Because their primary fan base was, like, 14-year-old girls, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know what it was. 14-year-old girls are, like, a weird market where you're just, like... They don't age, because 14-year-old girls will always exist, but they're always kind of weirdly the same. It's like they're very susceptible to any type of, like, do you want to hear a love story? And they're just like, yes, I do.
14-year-old like boobs. Or 14-year-old boys like boobs. 14-year-old girls like love and romance.
Yeah, because they've been through puberty for at least 2 to 3 years, Whereas boys have just hit it. They're like, right. I'm just now noticing things around me. Plus, whereas girls are like, I've been here for a while.
Yeah. Plus, also, boys get to look at boobies, and then girls will look at penises, which aren't as nice to look at. You know what I mean? Like, they're not as interested. And also, much harder to find in media.
True. Although, I will say that HBO was making a heavy effort to rectify that, and I appreciate it.
Well, this is also gay erasure, so, like, to be fair, like, it goes the other way around.
Yeah, I was going to say.
To be fair, I do, like...
Speaking of which, there are no... I just realized that. There are no gay characters in this. I just realized that. But, you know, Stephenie Meyer and that Mormonism...
What, maybe she's gonna pull up the, she's gonna pull, J.K. Rowling and be like, Jacob was gay the whole time. Charlie was gay the whole time, that's why he was single.
Honestly, I would buy it. That mustache really says a lot. Oh my god,
I'm dead.
I would buy it. If they would, like, I don't want her to retroactively and be like, Charlie was bisexual or some bullshit like that, but low-key, if I had to, like, you know, point a finger at it, I feel like Charlie probably would be the gay character. Especially since he was, like, pretty tight with homeboy from, well, just a lot of those dudes from, like, the reservation. I mean, he's lived there his whole life, so I'm sure.
Well, if you think about it also, how many adult women were in this movie? Or in this
that
franchise?
That is true.
Think about that. How many adult women who weren't vampires?
Other than Bella's mom, who looks like a fucking crack addict
who
in the first movie.
Who he already divorced, so we knew she was.
Well, she left him. That's the funnier thing. So, you know what? This does not bode well for Charlie's sexuality of trying to defend he's straight.
I think Forks just doesn't have adult women.
I only remember in the first movie there being one other adult woman, and she was like a waitress. She was a black waitress.
I also love how you, like, never see any actual teachers.
Don't, do we?
No.
I mean, I want to say there was, like, one in the first movie, then but again, I think it was just the biology
teacher.
They
also kind of forgot Bella was in school in New Moon.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, after the first movie, they were just, like, completely get rid of that. I actually read something before they were, I think it was, no, it was a podcast I listened to before there were a bunch of writers who had been responsible for, like, teen shows, or, like, the writer for, like, I think it was, like, the head writer from Gossip Girl. I think Julie Plec was there, a couple, like, the Famous and Love chick, whoever wrote that show, or maybe it was a dude, I can't even remember at this point, it was so fucking long ago, but I remember listening to, like, this panel of these writers who write teen shows, and they were just like, the number one thing that you want to do when you're writing a teen show is make sure you keep them away from the classroom at any given moment, because if they're in those seats, you're going to be able to tell that they're in their 20s, and I'm like, that makes sense, because there have been instances where I've seen that, and I'm just like, this bitch looks 40 sitting in this goddamn classroom.
Yeah.
But, you know, they figure out how to make it work. I don't know how Teen Wolf got away with that, because they had them in class a lot, and somehow they didn't look older. I think maybe with their casting, they somehow made it work. I don't know. But
or they just said... hope for that the suspension of disbelief would kick in.
Yeah. I mean, after a couple seasons, if you don't see them in class, you're just like, oh, thank God. I don't want to spend time in fucking biology. I don't care. Because, I mean, that's the truth. It's like, once you're in, like, once you go into the supernatural world, you don't want to go back to the human world because you're like, not as interesting.
Well, you know, that was like Bella. She's like, you're a vampire? Oh, shit. Make me one. Also, let's fuck.
Yeah. That was her. Also, this was the movie where we got visions of Edward. She was having, I don't want to say Mariah Carey visions of love, because that's not true. She was not having that. She was having visions of delusion.
She was like, I'm about to die. Oh, it's Edward telling me that I shouldn't die. I'm going to go jump off a cliff.
Okay, again, Lynn's way more into this whole mental illness aspect, because I'm just like, girlfriend.
What's the,
You just go, pause.
The, what's the illness where you, like, hear voices?
I'm blanking. Schizophrenic?
Yes.
I mean, low-key. But I thoroughly, I mean, I'm not a therapist or anything, but I have been on WebMD before, and therefore I am a doctor.
Because I have once been on WebMD.
I've also watched about 14 to 15 seasons of Grey's Anatomy, so at this point, God. I'm basically a doctor.
I hate it, thanks.
me and a lot of other people in the world right now are doctors because of the amount of Grey's Anatomy we've watched. But I believe that she is a manic depressive. Now, you'll have to bear with me on this, but because I have watched Skins before, and if anyone else who has watched Skins, because I know we have some UK listeners out there, you remember Effie from fucking Skins? She was a manic depressive. What was a symptom of being manic depressive? Erratic behavior, severe depression, and like high libidos. She has all of those things. It's because homegirl is horny.
So horny.
She is so horny. She's either sad, horny, or both at the same time.
You're right. What if instead Twilight was just called The Manic Depressive Chronicles?
I don't think it would sell over as well. It wouldn't have sold as well then, but now, yes. If she
CW,
had...
CW, I have some great reboot ideas for you.
Yes. That's the... Like, the entire day we've been just talking about that. We're like, the CW has to do a reboot at this point because I'm like, for one, they don't have a vampire show right now because the vampire... they do have a vampire show. I lied. They have Legacies.
If they don't do a reboot within the next 50 years...
50? That's too long. 10. I'm giving them 10. They can't do it any longer than... Well, actually, they should 20. Wait. They I should think... wait because... Let's see. This one came out in 2009, so that was 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's only been 10 years. It's still kind of young for a reboot.
It's true, but, you know, there's many things that people are like, hey, let's reboot that, and I'm like, it has not been that long.
That's a fair point.
But, you know, I think another good 10 years will wash the original Twilight series out of our minds.
In time for a third renaissance.
Yes, because, you know...
The people will be ready this time.
Yeah, because I was going to say Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson will have... literally cemented their careers as regular actors at this point. They're just like, look, I know I did that fucking franchise, but don't peg me in that. So, you know, I mean, they're already at that point right now. They're doing completely fine with their careers. So I think even at this point, they could do a
reboot. What's Robert Pattinson been doing lately?
The last movie, like the most recent movie he did, is like one where he's supposed to be in like space or something. And he's an astronaut. All I know is, like, someone walks around, like, a spaceship with, like, semen in the palm of their hand. Like, that's literally... I think that's a scene in the movie. I remember reading an article about it.
Weird flex, but okay.
Exactly. Apparently, it's supposed to be wild, just because they're, like, Robert Pattinson is, like, cray in it. But whatever. I'll delve more into that and you know, fill you guys in accordingly. But I'm trying to remember what else happened in this movie other than, like, Bella being crazy. I mean, there was the whole sequence of her being depressed for several months.
Yes.
Which, in the books, I always thought was hilarious because they're just blank pages. And then in the movie, she just sits in a chair for 3 straight months. Like, you know, that's supposed to be normal.
While, like, pans around her and plays
Licky Lee's Possibility. Yeah. To which I felt disrespected as a Licky Lee fan. Because I'm like, that's, you know, not a good use of that song.
No, it's not. It's a good song, though.
Yeah. Well, the song is, to me, very hopeful. And that wasn't, like, a hopeful scene. She was fucking depressed. She should have been listening to, like, some Lana Del Rey or something.
I almost wish it was just, like, fucking Static or something.
Just Radio Static? The
whole... I mean...
That was basically her brain.
Exactly.
Oh, did you knock something over?
I spilled a little bit of my water, but there was, like, almost nothing left, so it's fine. Okay. Don't mind me.
Wait, what was I gonna say? Yeah, if they were gonna use a Licky Lee song, it would have to have been from, her third album, which was, like, sad as fuck. That's honestly, like, one of her saddest albums. I listen to that whenever I want to be, like, I'm sad and, like, really in my feelings, I will listen to that. But if I'm, like, sad and also, like, low-key, like, I just want to lay on the floor and literally pretend I don't exist. Then I listen to Lana's Ultra Violence.
That sounds about right. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's, like, sad girl anthem music right there.
Yeah.
Except for when you get to Florida Kilos. Then you're just like, let's do cocaine.
Why can't you be sad and do cocaine, Chad?
I mean, you can do both. I mean, I know I won't do both. I mean, I don't do cocaine, but I know that.
It doesn't sound like a fun time, but I also wouldn't know, so.
Well, from the descriptive properties of what I've heard from movies and shit, because I've never done, I have never partaken in a cocaine, but from what I've heard from movies and shit, it's hard, I feel like it's hard to be sad on cocaine. I think it's like you do it and you're just like instantly well, like, woo, life is great.
It's upper, so, right? Yeah.
I mean, weirdly enough, my only remembrance, like, the strongest memory in my mind of, like, people doing cocaine is, like, in American Psycho, and they're, like, in a club, and for some reason there's, like, a wall of, like, stalls, like, bathroom stalls, and he was doing cocaine off a toilet in one of those, but it's, like, literally, like, you exit that stall and it's like the dance floor is right there, so it was very confusing to me. I was just like, wait, were clubs like this?
I saw a post on the internet where someone was in a bathroom stall and someone dropped white powder on the floor and then licked it off the floor, like after cursing and stuff, and they're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he just licked cocaine off a bathroom floor in a public bathroom.
Okay, I mean, you can't fault them for that, because from what I, again, what I have extrapolated from TV shows and shit, cocaine is expensive as fuck. So it's just like, you drop it, you go lick it up, because you ain't gonna waste that shit. Especially because cocaine, I feel like, is a rich person's drug. Especially, again, from all the movies and shit. It's always
well,
like
yeah,
some
that's
rich
what like
person.
Cocaine is rich people, and then crack is poor
for the
people.
Cheap. Yeah, for the poor people. Crack is for when you only have $2. $2.
Yes.
Well, not according to...
And now
to...
it's all about those opioids.
Opioids. Well, I was going to say, not according to It's Always Sunny. If you go by It's Always Sunny, crack is actually $500 a week.
If you're white people who roll up saying, hello, can I have one crack cocaine?
Can I have one crack rock?
One crack rock,
just
please.
One.
Just one.
Ugh. Do you know it's like literally one of my favorites, if not my favorite, It's Always Sunny episode?
I love the quote that's like, oh, you got addicted to crack.
Does anybody get addicted to crack?
So good. It was a great episode, yeah.
So good.
I need to watch the new season now that it's on Hulu.
I know. Well, honestly, I need to backtrack, because I think on my rewatch, I, like, fell off around somewhere in like, season 4. Oh. I mean, honestly, if I just want to pick up again, I'm just going to start where, I'm going to start the episode where the gang sets Sweet D on fire. Because, again, that's another one of my favorites.
There are so many good ones, honestly. There's so many it's what season?
A lot of my favorites are really towards the, like, first few seasons.
Oh,
or
really?
So. Well, I can't truly say that, because another one of my favorites is, like, the one where, like, Frank is in the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you remember when he's, like, naked and they're just like, someone in that chair?
I love the one where they all get sick or whatever, and it's all, like, very apocalypse-y, we have a virus thing, and they lock half of them in like the bathroom because they're sick or whatever, because they don't
oh my god I actually
others.
Don't think I've seen that one.
Oh my god, it's really good, please watch it, please. I'll have to find it, it's really good. I also really like the ones where they have the game. I forget what they call it.
Oh, Charlie D. McDennis.
Yes, because I think there are two different episodes
there
where
are.
They have it, and I love those episodes.
Oh,
they're
good. Always so
that
good.
That game just really tickles me.
Actually, I lied. My favorite episode is actually when the gang gets trapped in that house, because they're all like, oh, we're going to go steal this vase, like Indiana Jones. That one's actually my favorite.
That one was really good.
I love that one.
They're just, it's...
There's a little girl coming. Frank is like, where is she? I'll whip the little bitch in the face. So funny. Off topic, though.
Yeah.
Very off topic. Entirely different genres.
Off topic, but on brand.
I mean, we were talking... Well, true. Always.
Are you telling me that Twilight and It's Always Sunny are two different things?
I mean, not when I write the reboot, which will be a comedy.
Oh, my God. Crossover episode?
That would be a crossover I would really be into.
Oh god,
like,
that'd be
imagine
so
that It's Always Sunny people and
meeting
a crossover.
Like Edward and Bella on the street and Jacob, the three of them.
Well, I don't think they would meet them on the street. I think it would be like in the woods.
In what scenario would they be in the woods?
Okay, now bear with me. I think the gang So how this crossover would work, the gang would have to go on vacation, and they're like, oh, we're going to go to the woods. You know, Charlie's super apprehensive because he doesn't like going anywhere that's outside of Philadelphia.
Right.
But they kind of drag him along, and he's, like, in a safety suit or some shit because he's like, I need to be comfortable. And then that's when that happens because they think, oh, we're going to have, like, this chill camping trip, and it's going to be all really fun and whatnot, and then shit goes haywire. You know, in typical It's Always Sunny fan fashion.
Another episode I love, when Dennis and Mac move to the suburbs.
Ugh, great episode.
So good.
Newsflash, asshole!
So good. What a great show. Twilight.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember other aspects of this movie that tickled me.
Did we ever say specifically which movie we're talking about today?
Oh, we were talking about New Moon.
Yeah, but did we ever say that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, I forgot.
It only takes about 30 minutes for Catherine to forget what we were doing.
Incorrect. It takes me maybe 30 seconds. Bold of you to assume I have that much memory retainment.
I had a little bit more faith.
That was...
faith. Another theme of this movie.
Oh my god. Because they're all Mormons.
Yep. Which is why Edward... rant. Well, that's not exactly true. Oh, we completely forgot about the part where they go to fucking Italy.
Oh, yeah.
Literally the last 30 minutes of
the
movie.
Well, in the first, like, 30 seconds, do you think Jacob is a Mormon?
No. He's Native American. If anything, he hates anything that white people do. He's just like, I hate literally anything that white people do. Breathing.
Well,
I hate it.
He also trying to fuck, too, so.
Which is funny, because he's into a white chick. So you're like, what?
Again, did you see any women on that reservation?
Well, we did when we got to the third movie, but I digress. Honestly, we never see that much of the reservation. I'm trying to remember back in the book. Do they ever, I remember in the second book they do talk, the second book is when we find out way more about, the actual Native American reservation, or actually... do they prefer being called American Indians now? I think that's the proper term.
Is it?
Whatever. So we'll
first
go with that.
Thing I'm hearing of it.
The first that you're hearing of it, we live in the DC area.
Okay, and bold
they
of you
have
to
a whole
assume,
museum.
Bold of you to assume I pay attention to my surroundings.
Okay. Well, they have a whole museum here, and I believe it is called the American Indian Museum, which at first I thought was low-key offensive. I was just like, aren't they just Native Americans, but far be it from me to tell them what they should be called. So, anyway, this is, in the book, I remember that we do find out a little bit about the Native American Preserve, or the Native Indian Preserve. And there's, I know they talk about, there being a school, and the school isn't that good. It's kind of, shitty, because, you know, that's how these reservations are. They're kind of, well... From what I've extrapolated from, things that I've heard, they're not great. They're, they have their own land, but it's, really bad because they're, kind of cut off from everything else, and they get, no resources and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, I don't even want to get into that. I was going to say, I remember reading something about, Americans trying to, go in and help, or not help. I'm using that in, very heavy quotations, help these natives with, education, and really they were, trying to assimilate them into society versus, preserve their culture and shit that. But, I mean, that's one thing that I've kind of liked about this series is, they do that whole Native American thing, but they try it, or I, again, will use that term very loosely, try to keep authentic to, the actual, Native culture and shit like that, because I don't know how well this touches on the, I think it's called the Quileute tribe or something like that.
I don't remember.
Because I believe that they're actually native to Forks, Washington, which is an actual place. But I remember in the books that they talk about the school and it not being that great, and then she talks about the town and whatnot, because Jacob and his dad live in this kind of, I mean, in the movie they make it look better than it is described in the book, because it's described kind of like a shitty shack, basically, from what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to remember what else happens. Other than...
Well, we didn't talk about the Italy part. Like, we talked about how we didn't talk about it, but we didn't actually talk about it.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sure I get, like, attention to all the native shit before we get past it. Because it's hard to go backwards, you know? Well, there was... All right, they first start talking about the werewolves and the packs and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, there's really not all that much to it other than, like, they introduce all the werewolves and basically just the werewolf aspect of this film. Or franchise series, and like Jacob's a werewolf, and so are a lot of the other fucking people that he associates with.
Yeah.
Ironically, also it seems like there's like 20 people who live on this fucking reservation. Seems like I want to say it doesn't seem like there's very many.
Yeah, I think it's only like 20 people.
And I mean that's kind of it, other than like. He has to remind... I know in the books that her trying to, like, figuring out that he's a werewolf takes way longer than in the movie.
Yeah. But... Like, it wasn't just, like, a...
Aha
you're
moment.
You're sick and you're ignoring me, and then I'm gonna yell at your friends, and I'm gonna turn into a werewolf, and then I'm
Oh,
scared.
Yeah, that was the other thing I wanted to talk about. That was so funny when he just, like... Like, they go to the movies, and then all of a sudden he's just, like, ghost the shit out of her.
Yeah, that was very funny.
Yeah, because she, like, left two voicemails. She was just like, I'm sorry, blah, 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 da-da-da. I'm like, that third, if this were, like, modern times, that second or third email, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Also, the part where you were like, why is he holding his hand up like that when they were at the movies?
That was really weird.
Well, but he him wanted and the- her to hold his hand, so well, he's like, oh, this way if she, like, puts her hand on the armrest, like, I'm already here and available. You know what I mean? It's like putting single on your Facebook profile. Just letting people know you're there and willing.
It's very Kim Kardashian. I'm dropping hints that I'm single.
I'm single. Dropping hints that I want to hold hands. I want to hold hands.
Honestly, that's Bella. She's just like, I'm dropping hints that I'm horny. Fuck me, Edward. But, you know, whatever. Things happen. She jumps off a cliff. Alice thinks she's dead. Bella sees the ghost of Edward and almost drowns for, like, 2 seconds.
So funny. And then roll every time.
And then we go to Italy!
Yeah,
and
then she vacation!
And then she wins an all-expenses-paid trip to Italy.
How did she even get there? Like, I think they talked about it in the movie, in the book, but they did not cover it in the movie. That already just wasn't paying attention because it's like, oh, she's there, and now she's, like, in a Porsche in Italy. Because if I remember from the books, she and Alice stole that car.
Yeah. Well, she says that in the, she says that in the movie, which is funny.
I think it was more of a thing in the books, though. It was less of a, like, oh, by the way, we stole this car. And it was more of, like, a
big deal.
Oh, my God, should we steal this car? That's not right. We're gonna steal the car.
Because, you know, Mormonism. You have to...
How do the Mormons feel about stealing? We're assuming not well.
I don't think the Mormons are very into Grand Theft Auto, but apparently...
I know so little about the Mormons, so...
I was thinking about this when I was driving over here today. I was just like, what if you just replace the Book of Mormon with just Twilight? Like, you go back in the past, and you replace the Book of Mormon with just Twilight. And what if Twilight became a whole religion?
Oh my God.
Actually, really? Just think about that in general. Like, someone just like, oh, we have a time machine. They go back in the past. They just drop a book of Twilight randomly. And it just becomes like a full-on religion. You come back to the future. There's statues of Bella Swan, Edward, the fucking... Literally anyone from the fucking series. Just statues.
To any of our Mormon listeners, please tweet at us and tell you how you think about Twilight. Because I'm going to assume that some of you guys are Mormon because we only have a... We're a good podcast and we only talk about good values, family, good family, Mormon values.
Good, so. Good family values and sometimes getting dick down in a church pew. But only on Sundays.
One of my favorite jokes I ever heard was when someone joked about walking into a church and accidentally calling the priest daddy, and I'm still not over it.
I'm still not over it. I love that.
It really got me. The religious person in the room didn't agree, but that's fine.
I mean, they call them father, so I'm just like, is that really exactly, a stretch? Exactly,
like, that was the point of the joke. Because it's father, or daddy, I mean father.
Father, I have sinned. Daddy?
Daddy, I have sinned.
Daddy, I've been a bad girl. Me in a confessional. I'm going to do that because I'm not Catholic at all.
Oh, no.
I'm honestly not even remotely religious. So at this point now, I just want to go in a Catholic church and go to confessional.
See, I haven't even thought about it that in depth for years. And now I'm just like, now I'm just really not over it. You know, like, it's like rediscovering how funny it is all over again. Okay.
Ugh, I'm definitely going to go into a confessional one of these days. I'm going to voice record the whole thing and just be like, Daddy, I've sinned.
Daddy, I have sinned.
And then just tell, like, this completely fabricated lie.
Oh, God. I love it.
Ugh. I love doing shit. Well, I was about to say I've never done shit like that, but I'm like, have I? I will be completely honest. The other day I was thinking about, I'm like, there is, like, a good third to two-thirds of my life that I don't remember. Like, not because I've blacked it out or anything, but I think just because, like, I've experienced so many things in my life randomly.
You gotta cut stuff out.
Yeah, like, my brain has just started editing it, and it's just like, you know, we don't need that.
Well, you know how I said my memory retention is poor? It's a learned activity that's why I'm so bad at names, because I went to a high school that, first of all, I didn't know anyone when I started going there, and it had over 2,500 people there, and so I stopped trying to learn every name that I met really quick. And so then when I went to college, by then, like, that was out of me. I'm like, unless I met you, had a full conversation with you, and have decided that you are in my brain significant, I'm not gonna remember you. Like, I'm just
which is
not.
Fair that and, is honestly
and
fair.
Like, I will even, like, actively try and remember people, like, I will actively try and remember people's names, and, like, people tell me their names and it's like it goes in one ear, out the other, gone.
Oh, I need 2 to 3 times to remember someone's names, but I never forget a face.
There's someone I live with right now. I don't know their name, and at this point, I'm too afraid to ask.
That's honestly the mood. I'm too afraid to ask.
It's been like a month.
I've forgotten your name, and at this point, I'm afraid to ask.
I'm pretty much, so.
Oh, I've gotten really good at, like, dropping, not context clues, but, like, just, like, dropping little shit where you can, like, get them to, like, force someone else to say someone's name so that you can figure out what it is. I've gotten really good at that.
Oh, see, I need to work on that. I do try, but I have gotten really good at avoiding ever saying or acknowledging the fact that other people have names.
Mm.
So I've gotten really good at that.
Well, at least you found a way around it.
Yeah. I mean, generally, that's my coping mechanism for pretty much anything, is just straight-up denial.
Just forget it happened.
Denial and avoidance, that's my go-to, so.
I mean, again, fair. So, now we're in Volterra. Volterra? I don't even remember how she fucking pronounced it. But this is where the Volturi live. Those three fucking vampires who... The blonde one's angry. There's Arrow, the one who can literally read everyone's minds or some shit after touching you. And then the sad one who looks off in the corner. I don't even know what he does. I honestly don't. I don't even remember him from the books. Like, at all.
Oh, I don't. No.
The one I remember is the fucking blonde one. Well, and the leader. Like, because he's the leader. But I remember the blonde one because he's fucking angry all,
like,
the time.
I remember there are three, but I don't remember the differences between any of them.
Are there? Other than hair color and style. They all look like they're stuck in, like, a Victorian period piece.
Yeah. Yeah. Do they, like, go grocery shopping? You know what I mean? Like, well, then they're the vampires. They don't have to. Well, damn. There goes
That's
my
the
whole
real
argument.
Question. Is this, like, what do the they, like, fuck leave? Do they do all day? Like, I know that they're like, we're the leaders of the vampires. And I'm just like, yeah, but what the fuck do you do all day?
Esme. Carlisle's wife. You know, essentially Edward's mom or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And their little vampire, weird, incestual family.
Yeah.
So Esme, what does she do all day? Does she have a job?
I don't think so.
What does she do?
Who knows? Who knows what any of them do all day?
Well, because, like, they at least have school.
Yeah, the kids have school, and Carla has a job.
The kids?
Yeah. I'm using that with a quotation. Yeah. But, like, all of their adopted children have...
But Esme, what does she do? How does she, like...
Live?
Yeah.
How does she spend her days?
Well, it's like me watching Handmaid's Tale, too, is I'm like, what the fuck do you guys do all day? Especially since they don't even have, like, technology or anything. They just kind of, like, sit. Like, Handmaids especially, because they aren't allowed to do, like, anything. Like, if they're lucky, they get to go grocery shopping, and then otherwise, I think they just, like, sit in their rooms and stare at the wall, you know what I mean?
I think that's what their whole thing is. It's like, you don't... I think in that world, their whole thing is, like, women don't have a purpose unless men give it to them type that's thing. That's
fair, yeah. But, like, I honestly don't know how you could just do that. Like, people in prison have more to do, you know what I mean?
It's true. They can get a whole fucking degree in there.
Yeah.
So, really what we're saying is prisoners have it better than handmaids in The Handmaid's Tale.
It's true. Sorry, moving around the room. Welcome to my ASMR.
I was going to say, you're just going to sound, like, directionally challenged, but it's fine.
Well, how directional is your mic? Have you tested that out before?
I haven't. I just know that I sound far away a lot.
Well, like, far away is different than, like, direction, though. Because, I have a mic where it's very directional, where if you, like, move to different sides of the mic, like, you can hear it, like, moving around your head if you're listening with headphones.
Mm.
But, like, if you're just far away, that's less of a, like, mic pickup thing, and it's more of just, like, there's more reverb because it's less direct.
True.
Sound things.
I have noticed a lot in movies recently that they've gotten really good with that whole, like, directional thing because, like, there's been certain things where, like, you'll pick up sounds. And like, you know, like, how you can hear... Like, say, for instance, someone was, like, outside of the room right now and said something. Like, we could hear them away from us. That's how I can hear it in movies these days, where I'm, like, yeah. In the theater. It's just, like, it sounds like someone's fucking behind me, and I'm like, who's back there?
Well, it's because things like, not just surround sound, but, like, Dolby audio is becoming much more prevalent.
Oh, I love Dolby.
It's, the way Dolby works, I actually went to a workshop on how to mix for Dolby audio. And one, I only understood a little bit of what was being said because I haven't even mixed surround sound. Because the thing is, so actually, I was sound mixing for someone's film for them. And they were like, oh, did you mix it surround sound? And I'm looking at, like, my two little studio speakers, and I'm like, you can't mix surround sound if you don't have a surround sound set up. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Because how do you hear it?
You just, I'm like, pretend.
That's
just,
yeah, I'm like, that's not an option. Like, the only way you can mix Dolby is if you have a whole Dolby-certified setup, which is very difficult to get. But, like, Dolby is so crazy in the way that it works because there are, like, millions of points around the room. Like, it's not, like, a left, right, up, down. Like, it is a truly three-dimensional, like, you can put the sound anywhere you want in the environment. And that's so crazy to me. And that's why Dolby audio sounds so good.
Yes, as someone who went and saw X-Men Dark Phoenix in Dolby,
yeah.
I can tell you that the movie sounded amazing.
Yeah, it's just really expensive and difficult to do because not a lot of people know how to do it because, like I said, you need to have that certified setup in order to do it, which isn't easy to get because there are certain, like, room dimensions and...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, like it's a whole thing. So it's really, it's a lot more difficult to do than other sound, but it's becoming such a big thing because it's so good, so realistic.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, if anyone's wondering my verdict on Dark Phoenix, not good. This is coming from an X-Men fan, too. But, you know, anyway. So, end of New Moon.
Can you imagine if Twilight was in Dolby audio?
Ugh. Maybe the reboot.
Oh my god.
The reboot CW series, which will come out in theaters for some reason.
God.
Can you imagine if instead of watching TV at home every week, you, like, went to the theaters to go watch an episode every week?
I don't have money.
Yeah, but what if it was, like, a season pass type thing?
I would do it for some shows. Not for every show, but there are some shows I would do it for.
Ooh, definitely for fucking Game of Thrones?
Because also, yeah, and also there are some shows where it's, like, they're more fun to watch with people, you know? Like, I found out I'm going to be on a family vacation when the Jane the Virgin has its series finale. I don't want to watch that without people.
Oh, that's so
going to be depressing. Like, that's not a show I want to watch alone. It just gets sad.
Also, you've been live tweeting. How will you get the Michael fans to
exactly.
be mad?
Exactly! Oh, my God. So one of my friends actually sent one of my tweets to me, and she's like, oh, my God, you're, like, Twitter famous now. I'm like... You should see the other tweet where, like, I actually started getting, like, hate tweets. I'm like, that's how you know. That's how you know you're succeeding is when people send you hateful tweets.
That is true. As someone who used to be, like, like slightly Tumblr famous. I mean,
oh, I've never been.
Polarizing is how you become any type of famous of anything. You have to become polarizing.
I have one very loyal mutual on Tumblr. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, so. I have a very loyal Twitter fan who always or mutual on Twitter who always likes my shit, and I'm just like,
nice.
Shout out to that bitch.
Oh my god, I almost got in a fight with someone over women's soccer the other day. I was like ready to throw hands. But then I, like, the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, ugh, I don't want to fight anyone on Twitter. Because I honestly, like, I'm not on Twitter enough to, like, actually fight someone. I'm like, I'll send a, like, tweet or two, but then I just get tired. Like, conflict is honestly so tiring to me.
I can agree with that.
So then I sent one tweet that I to them where I knew, I'm like, no matter how they replied to it, they would look like an asshole, and then they never replied. And I'm like, heh heh. One, I don't have to continue fighting you. Two, I still get the last word. Take that.
I win.
I mean, well, the reason I wanted to fight them is because they were just being, like, very unnecessarily, like, negative and hateful. And I'm like, that's what makes me mad. Is I'm like, if you disagree with me, like, that's fine. Like, I get that. But you were just being unnecessarily hateful and unproductive on my tweet, where clearly you were just trying to start things. So I'm like, that makes me mad. Like, that's what makes me mad about some of these people who reply to me about Michael on Jane the Virgin. Because they're just, like, trying to be hateful towards me, all because I tried saying, like, something usually very innocent. I tried saying that one character wasn't toxic, and I had people telling me I was in a toxic relationship and didn't realize it. I'm like, okay. To which,
as someone who is like, I consider us close friends, I'm like, I've never heard you talk about anyone.
Right. Romance. I'm like, I've been single for 4 years, but nice try.
Love that.
Yeah, although I just thought it was funny that I'm like, okay, I mean, they're like, because I've been in a toxic relationship, and I know, and I'm like, okay, I mean, I'm sorry, that sucks, but, like, get out of my tweet.
Yeah. You know who can never be single for 4 years? Bella Swan. She couldn't even be single for it's 5 minutes.
It's true. It's because she's too horny.
It's true.
You know
honestly,
what?
Honestly, if girl had...
Okay, Jersey Shore, if Bella Swan was on it.
Ugh. Now,
could you imagine?
That would have been quite the ride.
That would have been so good.
I would have just been here for, like, Snooki and JWoww trying to get her to, like, come out of her shell. They're like, come on! Like, stop being so, like, so anti-social.
Good. Oh my god. I want to see that now. Because I've been watching a lot of Jersey Shore lately. I've been watching Twilight with you. So now all I want is a Twilight Jersey Shore crossover. Can someone please write a fanfic and send it to me? I'm also going to look for one just in case, because you never know.
Well, you are an editor. You could edit together a hilarious little clip.
That's a lot of work. I'm good.
See, it always sounds like...
I did think about it.
I was going to say, it sounds like a lot of work, but once you get into it and start making yourself laugh, it's way more fun. Because believe me, as someone who like has been like, do I really want to dedicate that time to that shit? Once you start making yourself laugh, it's literally just for the entertainment.
Oh my god. That's true. I've done dumber things before.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just remembering... You remember our one friend's remix of that one song, like, the booty song? Booty, booty, here comes the booty. That song?
The remix?
They did some weird remix to that song.
I know what song you're
remix
referring
to.
It's called Booty Man by... by Tim Wilson. Tom Wilson. One of the two.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with the song. I know the song, but I don't remember anyone doing, like, a remix.
Oh, yeah. He did a Booty Man remix for no reason. Just literally for the shits and
giggles. I have, like, a 40-something long song that a friend and I made of where the lyrics go, that's the clitoris, and it just repeats that over and over again.
Wait, for 40 minutes?
No, 40 seconds. Did I say minutes?
Yes.
I don't know.
I was like, what?
No, seconds. Well, because they were showing me how to use Logic Pro, and I accidentally made a loop of the line, that's the clitoris, that's the clitoris, that's the clitoris. And we're like, wow, this slaps. So we made a song. And I still have it. It's on my YouTube somewhere, but it's private, so you can't find it unless I send it to you.
And that's the clitoris.
That is indeed the clitoris.
Well, in some awe, I feel like that's been New Moon.
I really want someone to make a pie chart of how often we talk about like new moon versus how much we talk about anything else in this episode.
Well, if they were going to do that, they might as well just do a pie chart in general of like how often we stay on topic and how often we go off topic.
Yeah, that's true.
That would be a pie chart I'm interested in.
Yeah. I need one for like this episode and then one for like
in
our
general.
Entire series. Who's willing to go and listen and like chart all that out? Anyone? Any takers?
What's really funny is it sounds like you're waiting for a response. If someone's going to say something, wouldn't it be funny if someone did say something? Then I would know the FBI is listening.
Should I wait longer next time, give the FBI a chance to answer? Like, if you leave enough tension in the air, they might answer just to cut it.
Well, FBI? All I've got to say is, that's the clitoris. In case you are wondering, that's the clitoris. I'm
Edward,
not showing you.
Are you listening? You know what that is? Are you afraid of this, Edward?
Oh, God. Obviously, you guys know that we're moving on to Eclipse next, which will be fun. It'll be fun. Yeah. It'll be a great time.
Hopefully better.
I'm trying to remember if there's anything else from New Moon that I forgot. I mean, other than...
Oh, obviously, there are, but, like...
But does it honestly matter at this point?
We spent maybe 5 minutes actually talking about it.
Is why I said that we really need to just become a YouTube reaction channel, because I'm like, we watch stuff and react to it very viscerally, but, like, when it comes to recording the stuff, we always end up getting off topic because we start talking about other shit.
Because it's less of us recording our thoughts and more of us having a conversation and a microphone is in the room.
And I'm okay with that.
That's right.
I've made peace with that.
Uh-huh.
And I think so have our listeners. So thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for always being there.
If you're a Mormon, tweet at us.
Or don't. Whatever. Do whatever you want. I don't know what Mormons do.
That's a good point. What do they do?
Mormons, tweet
at us and tell us
go
what you
do. Go on pilgrimages.
Are those Mormons? Or are they, Amish?
No. The Mormons do go on, like, a pilgrimage. That's when they do that thing where they go to other places and then you see people knocking on your door. I'm like, have you heard about the good word of the Church of Latter-day Saints?
I forgot the Mormons do that, too. I lose track, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Ooh, speaking of Mormons, Latter-day, that's a good gay movie to watch. Has nothing to do with this, but if you're really into some gay shit, go watch that. It's a fun time. Also, if someone tries to kill themselves in that, I mean, I don't think that's really a spoiler, but, you know...
So it's just like New Moon is what we're saying.
Exactly. Is killing yourself part of the Mormon experience? Or attempted suicide?
Mormons, tweet at us.
I really want to know. As always, thanks for listening, guys.
Gucci!